Let's rise. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Hodiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small, your heart, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasures shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, our humble Savior, fellow redeemed. This morning, our study through the Old Testament brings us to the little book of Obadiah. About the only thing most people know about Obadiah is that his name is hard to pronounce. Some might know that he's a prophet, that he's one of the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament due to the shortness of this book. It's only one chapter long. But other than that, not too many other people know about his message. Even though Obadiah is obscure, we don't know much about the man. And even though his message is not known by very many, his message is applicable and is relevant to us today here in America as if these words were written yesterday. These words of Obadiah came from a vision from God. They weren't Obadiah's reflections. They weren't his knowledge of political leanings and historical events and the religious situation of his day. Nor were they the application of God's word to a situation. This is a vision, a direct divine revelation through inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the prophet Obadiah concerning God's plan and purpose for this ungodly nation called Edom. And to avoid any misunderstanding as to where these words come from, Obadiah begins his prophecy with the words, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. Edom was a small country with mountainous terrain. It's 110 miles long and 30 miles wide. It got its name from Esau. Esau was called Esau, but he also was called Edom. And he was the one who founded this area some 1,500 years before Obadiah, when he chased out the people who lived there, and then he lived there, and the people of Obadiah's day were Esau's descendants. Esau means hairy, Edom means red, and Esau was given both those names. Being a mountain kingdom, they had some very naturally protected fortifications. Most of the cities were built on ledges or on cliffs, well fortified and protected. But even though the Edomites and the Israelites were blood brothers, both came from Jacob, they never were at peace. The people of Edom were cruel, proud, vengeful people. It's because of Edom's pride in themselves and their cruelty toward the Israelites that God gave this message to Obadiah to deliver to the people of Edom, this small but powerful nation. King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." The Lord in His Word has a lot to say about pride, and none of it is good. Again, in Proverbs, the Lord says, "In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, and a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor." Again and again and again, the Lord proclaims He'll destroy the proud. He brought destruction upon the proud Egyptians. He destroyed the pride of the Philistines, the pride of the Moabites, the pride of Assyria, the pride of Judah and Jerusalem. Again, Solomon writes, "When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. And by pride comes nothing but strife, arguments, hatred, quarrels, fighting." Throughout the Bible, the Lord tells us about men who rejected the Lord and His Word over and over again because of their sinful pride and the terrible results. Pharaoh of Egypt, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Ahab, king of northern Israel, and also King Herod of Judea. The Lord lists pride together with adultery, murder, theft, blasphemy, deceit, and fornication as the sins that come out of a sinful, blackened, deadly heart. And John in 1 John 2 writes, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Well, unfortunately, the people of Edom were steeped in pride. Their nation had existed for 1,500 years. They were small but very powerful. They were very prosperous and wealthy. In their pride, they forgot the Lord. And they also despised the Lord by despising His children, the Israelites. When the Israelites were attacked by the Babylonians and carried away captivity, they sat up there in their high mountain peaks and looked down at what was happening, and they rejoiced. They were glad it was happening. And when someone tried to escape, they stopped them from escaping. And then they went and plundered what was left over. This rivalry and family feud continued all throughout those 1,500 years, even though Jacob and Esau had made peace many, many years earlier. And because of all of this, the Lord then foretold to Obadiah exactly what was going to happen to these Edomites. It's interesting to see how you heard this phrase, "Man proposes and God disposes." What it means is man schemes and plans to do this and do that, and then God takes those very schemes and plans and turns it against people, and they fail. And so we see in the four areas that Edom prided itself in, God turned it against them. He clearly reveals to them, step by step by step by step, exactly what's going to happen to them, and they would not be able to stop it. Edom's pride lay in four areas. First of all, power. Second, wealth. Third, their alliances. And fourth, their wisdom. So the Lord begins by telling Edom, "Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. No longer will they loom large in the eyes of the fellow nations round about them. No longer will the people look upon this little nation as being powerful. Now, they look upon it as being just small." We read verses 3 and 4. "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?' Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord." Their pride was in their power and in their position. They lived up in the mountaintops, up where the eagles flew. They had innumerable caves that offered refuge. And from those places they could attack any oncoming army or enemy that tried to destroy them. From all practical purposes and human viewpoint, they were impregnable. But all of these defenses, all of this power, would fail them. Their pride also rested in their wealth. There were very fertile valleys throughout that mountain ranges where they produced great crops. Rich copper mines and iron mines dotted the hillside of Edom. And also, they controlled the great trade route from Egypt up to Damascus, eventually to Assyria and to Europe on the east side of the Jordan River. And they charged tolls and charged taxes to all the traders that would walk along that route of theirs. And they became immensely wealthy. But God says, all those riches piled up for centuries that you've so carefully hidden away will all be taken away. We read in verses 5 and 6, "If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasures shall be sought after." What God is saying is, the thief breaks into your house, they just steal what they want and they leave. They don't take everything. Grape gatherers, when they gather grapes, leave some grapes on the vine for the poor and the needy. Not in this case. When the people come to attack Edom, they'll be obliterated. From riches to rags, from rulers to beggars, nothing will be left. They also placed their pride in their many alliances with other nations. Even though they were very small, they were very prosperous and very powerful, so other nations were eager to make pacts and treaties with them, and alliances with them, much larger nations than they. And they pride themselves in that. But now the Lord says, those alliances of yours, they'll turn against you. They'll take from you. They won't even take you in when you're refugees. They'll be like Cain, people without a country. We read in verse 7, "All the men in your confederacy, your allies, shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you, and no one is aware of it." And finally, the Lord would destroy Edom by destroying the last thing they took pride in, that was the wisdom and the understanding of their rulers. They would make very unwise, actually very foolish decisions. As they're being attacked, as they're losing their power, as their gold and money is being stolen, the people turn to their leaders, and the leaders would make one unwise decision after another until finally they were all destroyed. We read in verse 8, "Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau?" Proud, boastful, rich and wealthy, powerful, wise Edom will be leveled. More than that, will be annihilated. So no one will be left. The Lord says in the last verse, "Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter." The application of this little prophecy, I think, is very, very clear. I could not help but think of how these words of Obadiah in the picture of Edom apply also to the picture of our nation. A nation which prides itself in its power and wealth. A nation which prides itself in its position, its allies, its friends. A nation which prides itself in its wise, understanding rulers. But for the most part, does not pride itself in the Lord God. Our nation has made laws that promote the killing of the unborn, even the harvesting of tissues of aborted babies. Our nation has made laws that endorse homosexuality, and many states promoting same-sex marriage. Our nation's schools teach evolution as being truth, and humanism as being the way. But really, we are all of America. So individually, as a Christian congregation, and as a church body, a synod, we too need to take these words under consideration for ourselves. How often have we also gloried in our position, whether it be just a parent in our family, or maybe a position at work, maybe in the church? How often have we gloried in the wealth and the blessings that God has so wonderfully showered upon us? We've got more than some other people have. How often we have troubles, do we first turn to our friends or other people for advice, rather than turn to the Lord in prayer and to His Word? And how very often don't we turn to our own wisdom, our own thinking, our own understanding, instead of taking the Lord's Word and applying it to our daily lives? We all by nature are proud and conceited. By nature, we put our confidence in the things that we can see and touch and possess. By nature, we're really no different. And the small but powerful people of Edom. But there is a big difference in our spiritual attitude toward God. The Holy Spirit has led us to realize our sinfulness, to see our sinful pride. Daily, we must confess our sins, for we look into our lives, we see a long, long, long list of sins in thought, in word, and in deed. The Holy Spirit has also led us to acknowledge these sins, repent of them, and look alone to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, full and free. The Holy Spirit led us to throw ourselves down at the foot of the cross, confess our sins, and then bask in the glory that our sins have been paid for through Christ's shed blood. They've been washed away. The Holy Spirit led us to look to Jesus and His Word in good times and bad, in riches and poverty, and not to look to our own understanding, but turn to His truth and His wisdom in His Word. And unlike the Edomites, the Holy Spirit has led us to see our treasure is in heaven, where moth and rust does not destroy. Our riches is in the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of everlasting life that our Savior has promised us. Our alliance is not in other people, but in Jesus, our best friend, who has made peace between us and the Heavenly Father. Our wisdom is found in God's Word, announcing that Jesus has come to be our righteousness. Through His perfect life and atoning sacrifice, our righteousness that is made ours alone through faith. So now I know all about Obadiah's book. I mean, this little book of prophecy, this one chapter book, awaken every single one of us a recognition of our own sinfulness, of our own sinful pride, but also lead us to repent of those sins and to look to the one thing needful, to Jesus Christ, His forgiveness, and the strengthening of our faith through His Word. Our Lord promised us, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Made in me a clean heart, O